It's Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Procrastination has been considered a scourge of productivity. Countless articles, books, and gurus coach clients to overcome their natural tendency to put things off till the last minute. Ironically, some studies show certain forms of this habit may have benefits. Here to address how procrastination can be used effectively is independent career consultant Sasha King. So where have you been all my life? This is advice a guy like me can use.
Oh, I think a lot of people can use this advice. One of the big things that has changed in our society is this idea that procrastination is a bad idea. We haven't always lived that way. In Roman and Greek eras, procrastinators were seen as actually positive people because they would actually gather all the information they need and then delay the decision because it actually we're finding is better leadership skills. However, there was this wonderful man named John Edwards who was a theologian and preacher.
Not to be confused with
John Edwards, right, the politician here. No, he came far, far, far earlier. And he wrote this sermon called Procrastination and Sin. And he introduced the Americans to the idea that procrastination is a sinful activity and it's something that you need to get rid of. It's part of the Protestant work ethic. So procrastinators before that point weren't necessarily seen as negative people because, like I said, we'll talk about this as we go through it. There are some benefits for it. But we made that change, and also during the Industrial Revolution, that the idea that you needed to get things done immediately.
But see, now wouldn't there be a counter argument that by procrastinating, taking all of the facts in, that you're less likely to make a rash and ergo sinful decision?
You're less likely to make it actually an erroneous decision. One of the things that Richard Hamming found is that scientists and top-level researchers, because they are a special type of procrastinator, which I'll explain later, they actually did better work on larger problems. Like, for instance, it's hard to solve the issue of global warming if you're attempting to get the research and answer out every 5 seconds. This is something that you have to take in the information, look at the complexity of the problem, and then delay your responses on certain aspects of it in order to solve it. So that's one of the benefits from it. Another reason why procrastination can be really helpful is you figure out halfway through it that maybe you don't need to perform the task anyway. One of the things that's changed about our modern society, and they found in reports and studies, is that procrastination has increased since 1978, and it's in part because of information overload, increased numbers of technical distractions, and also there's been an increase every decade in the amount of time and energy that is really required from workers. So some of this procrastination isn't laziness or sloth. People are over-programmed and required to overproduce. So it's your body saying, okay, I've hit my limit here. Another reason why procrastination is actually helpful in certain situations is some people really do perform better tasks and projects with an adrenaline rush. So if you actually plan your procrastination effectively, that last minute rush can help you perform something stronger than if you had actually done a little bit each day.
Sasha, you say there are two types of procrastinators.
Absolutely. The type of procrastinator that we usually associate with procrastination are called passive procrastinators. These people use procrastination as a defense mechanism. So people who have this problem are characterized with indecision because they often are procrastinating based on fear. Fear of failure, fear of rejection for maybe the work that they're going to produce, or sometimes even fear of success because success might change their identity. Sometimes these people hand in one or two ways. They will avoid the task by looking productive. So, of course, I don't really want to work on that art project because I don't know if it's going to be my perfect vision. So I'm going to go ahead and do my laundry. That's being productive, right? Or another way that this group of people will handle their procrastination is they will do absolutely nothing. And so sometimes those are the people that we know are procrastinators. And like I said, those are the people we associate it with. Another group of procrastinators are what we call active procrastinators. These people plan in a way that they know that they're going to work under a deadline impression, but they will wait to perform the task or project maybe until they have enough information, or they will wait until they have enough inspiration to get it done. A lot of successful people, the higher up a food chain, you either go in a corporation or higher up someone is in a particular industry, those people are usually active procrastinators because they're often given more tasks than anyone could ever complete. So they know, okay, there's certain things I'm going to ignore, and I will focus, hyper-focus to the extent of everything else to get something, a task done.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Independent career consultant Sasha King is making her monthly visit to Essential Pittsburgh to discuss procrastination. And while procrastination is beneficial for many situations and solo endeavors, it can stall projects that require collaboration or strict deadlines. So what tips do you have for procrastinators who struggle with deadlines and group projects?
The first thing you should do is set one big reminder with a deadline, because you're more likely to respond to it. So what is my advice if you're a parent or you're a director of someone who seems to be a bit of a procrastinator? Don't send multiple nagging points to them, because it's actually less effective. The first big one actually gets the response and the action that you need. The next thing you want to think about is start the task without worrying about finishing. One of the issues that people have when they procrastinate is they're usually worried, sometimes fear of success, fear of failure, and they're also worried about being a perfectionist. So it's better to start and not worry about the end goal and finish, because you're going to be surprised at how much you get done.
So in some cases, you might have somebody that's procrastinating, putting off something because they have a vision for how they want to do the project and they don't feel like they can achieve that in this particular amount of time that they have to work on it. So I'm going to put this off until I'm really ready to do it the way I envision
Absolutely.
It.
So it's one of those things where actually just starting a little bit without worrying about that big goal of it being perfect and your perfect vision is very helpful. Another thing that's very helpful and it's becoming popular is accountability groups. A lot of effective procrastinators will join different types of accountability groups to help them. Like an example would be joining Weight Watchers if you're trying to lose weight. Because you're accountable to your leader, because you're accountable to the other people in your group, you don't want to disappoint them, right? So it's like a positive peer pressure. Another effective way of dealing with it is also making what you're doing either a passion or a game. So another way that people are successfully losing weight after they've procrastinated for years on that task is Diet Bet. Diet Bet is an app that you use that you're making monetary bets with other people in a group to see how much weight you can lose. That making it a game is actually helping people who've been stalled in almost any program under the sun to solve that problem.
So most modern productivity and time management techniques are geared towards people who don't procrastinate. What are some effective scheduling techniques for people who do procrastinate?
I love Neil Fiore's Unschedule that he talks about in The Now Habit. The way that schedule works, because this is a group of people that if you give them a day planner, they're going to chuck it across the room. They'll never really use it. Let's just be honest. So you start off with either like a virtual calendar like your Google Calendar, or just one of those little calendars that has everything from maybe 6 a.m. to midnight, and you could just write in your tasks. And what you'll actually do first when you're planning your day is you're going to start with things like your sleep, your meals, meeting times, maybe leisure activities, exercise, and sometimes routine things like appointments or classes. Now, after you've written those things into your schedule, virtually or pen and paper, old school, you're going to add projects that you've accounted for in your daily routine. Then one of the things you want to do is instead of spending all your time worrying about a project, what he found was if he gave someone a task or a project and had them count the amount of time they were spending on it uninterrupted for 30 plus minutes, they were more likely to get more work done because, wait a second, if I know I'm going to have free time later, if resource is coming, then I'm going to concentrate on getting this task done no matter how much I can get done in 30 minutes.
So in other words, work expands to time allowed.
Yes. So if you spend 30 plus minutes working on a project and then you've got it done and you were uninterrupted and you were in the zone and you totally focus on the project, guess what? You get to reward yourself. You get to have a break. You get to move to a task you might like a little better. And so the other thing that he found too is because that perfectionist streak in a lot of procrastinators, if you don't aim to complete it and you just start and you just keep starting and getting the habit of starting, you will actually get to the finish line. So one of the things that he does in the unschedule, and I actually follow this myself, is I will tally up at the end of the week to see how much quality time, uninterrupted work I got done. Because most of what we are given on the job, day to day, are really busy work. So you're just performing tasks, really not getting quality work. And one of the things that shocked me when I started following the unschedule is the amount of quality work that's really important increased because I was following an unschedule as opposed to a traditional time planner.
Independent career consultant Sasha King joining us for her monthly On the Job segment. Sasha, always a pleasure visiting with you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
And more Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.